So hello everyone and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are back again for another week of our Turning Towards Life conversation. Now, Lizzie, I'm so enjoying seeing you smiling back at me here. It feels enormously joyful to be starting this conversation again. And it's one of the things about this practice that we're in is that it always feels so alive to me. It never, even though we've done this 270 times, and you might think, what, again? But it doesn't feel like that. It's not like that ever to be with you and to be in this conversation. And I know that for many, many people who are with us, whether now I'm speaking to all of you who are with us, whether you join us very, very occasionally, or whether you're someone who listens in every week, that these conversations are also, they matter and that they're important. And so I want to say thank you for making them matter and making them important enough to spend the time with us and to listen or to watch in all the different ways that you find us. And as always, if you want to find out more about this whole practice, you can go to turningtowards.life to see all the conversations and all the sources there. And you can find out more about Third Space at wearethirdspace.org. And we are having this conversation, as you and I, in the middle of one of the 4-day sessions of our year-long professional coaching course. And that feels like a very special time to be doing this too. So you can all find information about that if you're interested on wearethirdspace.org. And thank you, Lizzie, as always, for choosing a wonderful and deep and excellent source for us to talk about this week.
Thank you, Justin. Yeah, it does feel very meaningful that we're doing this just as our cohort of coaches are welcoming new people to be their clients. And this wonderful piece by Viktor Frankl called The Meaning of Love seems to point to that, a big part of what's going on there and for us as in our work. So here we go. This is called The Meaning of Love, and it's from Man's Search for Meaning, an introduction to logotherapy by Viktor Frankl. It goes like this. Love is the only way to grasp another human being in the innermost core of their personality. No one can become fully aware of the very essence of another human being unless they love them. By the spiritual act of love, they are enabled to see the essential traits and features in the beloved person, and even more, they see that which is potential in them, which is not yet actualized, but yet ought to be actualized. Furthermore, by their love, the loving person enables the beloved person to actualize these potentialities. By making them aware of what they can be and of what they should become, they make these potentialities come true.
Thank you, Lizzie. So I'll read it too. One second. Meaning of love. Love is the only way to grasp another human being in the innermost core of their personality. No one can become fully aware of the very essence of another human being unless they love them. By the spiritual act of love, they are enabled to see the essential traits and featured in the beloved person, and even more, they see that which is potential in them, which is not yet actualized, but yet ought to be actualized. Furthermore, by their love, the loving person enables the beloved person to actualize these potentialities. By making them aware of what they can be and of what they should become, they make these potentialities come true.
Thanks, Justin. So what happened for me as you were reading that, as I suddenly saw that maybe, oh, it's so weird, like maybe it's not up to me so much as I thought it was to be whatever I think I could be. But maybe it's, or whatever I am that is my potentiality realized, maybe it has a huge big amount to do with the way people have seen me, that I've become what I've become. And, you know, I'm always wondering about what love really is. And so when someone writes something called The Meaning of Love, I'm like, oh, here we go. Tell me what the meaning of love is. And for it to mean this thing that, you know, we often say to one another, Justin, and we've said it so many times, I think, in these conversations, is that it's so much easier for me to see you, for example, than it is for you to see yourself in your potentiality, in your essence. It's much harder to see our own essential goodness than it is for other people to see us. And so when love is defined as me seeing you, as me feeling into the wonder of you, and then you being told that or being communicated that that's how I see you through whatever means, that you then get to believe that, or that you then get to borrow from the way I see so that you could see yourself more clearly. That being love makes so much sense to me. And I also have a grapple with this kind of potentiality thing, because there are times in my life where I've been seen in my potential, but I felt very far away from it. And so sometimes it feels like a lack of acceptance for where I am and who I am now as well. So I'm kind of like in the edginess of this, of like, it's a real gift, but it also can be very difficult to feel like you're an unrealized potential. Because, well, what's wrong with me now? Why aren't I okay just the way that I am? So anyway, I feel in the kind of the both andness of this, of like, it's a loving thing to have somebody be just fine, just the way that they are. But it's also a loving thing for us to see someone and let the space into which they could grow be bigger and hold that space for them or be deeper or something. Because it's so easy to be blind to our gifts and be blind to what's possible when we're these beings that we are, that can kind of close in on themselves and feel like we can't see anything anymore of our goodness. So anyway, I feel thrown by this piece of writing into like different avenues and the different gifts of it.
I always love reading things by Viktor Frankl, because I know you know this about him. He wrote all of this after having survived being in the Nazi death camps. And it is amazing to me that what he was able to find that so many people couldn't, for all the reasons that they couldn't, but that he could stand in this place of hopefulness about people. And for me, that's the... this both and part that you were talking about, which actually I noticed as you were talking about that he says this very clearly. He's really clear on this here. He says that the act of love is to see the essential traits and features in the beloved person. That's the person as they are. And also to see what's potential in them, which is not yet actualized.
Yeah.
And it like you, it seems to me that that's both, well, both I think are incredibly important, because if I only see you for what you could be, then I'm loving you for what you're not, but not for what you are.
Yeah.
And that's cruel.
Yeah.
And a lot of the world is set up that way. If anyone will dare to see something that could happen, we leave out the...
Yeah.
Let me just appreciate you for your goodness and your courage and your beauty and your care and all of that. And I'm with you on this first part of loving people for who they are. And I can see that alone, if it's not held in a sort of polarity with what might be, we really easily play into a dynamic with ourselves and with one another where we don't step in to help to resolve possibility or suffering. So I can love you, Lizzie, right where you are, really fully, and at the same time see that something might be calling or might be possible or might be necessary or might be a way in which your excellence and goodness could unfold into the world for the benefit of everyone. And an act of loving you would be also to love the world in which you're in. And if I'm going to love you and the world, then it seems to me I need to be mindful both of what is already unquestionably, unarguably perfect about you, and I also need to be mindful of what the world might be calling for in some way, or I sort of how your gifts might yet unfurl and unfold into the world. And then it's going to be my loving responsibility to hold both and to not collapse into one end or the other, and to be really sensitive about timing. There are times not to bring one another what might be. There really are. And then there are times not to sit in just what is.
Yeah.
So I sort of want to read Viktor Frankl as a kind of responsiveness and as a kind of process, not as a kind of prescription that has to be, you know, that's sort of somehow simplistically held in every moment.
Yeah.
I need to be able to let go, and I need to be able to step in. And I, this feeling that, you know, where it seems to me it gets particularly poisonous is if what I'm doing is not love, but getting my needs met. So I could dress up lots of things as if they were love for you, but they're really wanting you to do things that would make me happy or make me feel safe or make me feel settled. And I think that's what Frankl's talking about. So when I'm willing to give up all of that to really see what is the buds that are opening in you, and to give that, like you said, that we can't always see in ourselves, and to give them some attention. And I know you have been such a loving presence of that way in my life, that you very often see things that I don't see, but when I see them through your eyes and mind and heart, brought back lovingly to me, they open something that is so life-giving and so called for. So I know this by being in, you know, you're one of the people that I've been a recipient of exactly this. And last thing to say is, so then, and this is really something you said, but it's a reminder that we don't do this alone, that the myth of the self-made person or the self, look at my development, I did this all myself, my growth, none of it happens that way. It's ridiculous. It only happens because we're with one another, because we're willing to extend to one another. And my, whatever's happened in me has happened because of the people who were brave enough to love me.
Oh, gosh. So what's happening for me is like this, like you're saying, this depolarizing thing of like, to love you means to love you here and bigger too, simultaneously. And the delivery or the communication is so much about timing. I love that. Like, it's all welcome. And what a beautiful definition of what loving someone is. And the way it comes from me to you, in whatever way that comes, is a proper art form. There's a how to love someone. You know, like you said, it can be so awful to receive something at the wrong time. And there's so much of, there's so many ways and a potentiality can feel like an attack or a naming of a deficiency. If, as you say, these places aren't held in equal delicacy and equal attention and equal cultivation. And I know that for me to feel, it's also a brave thing. Like, for me to feel like I'm held in someone's acceptance, and for them to say, and I can see something about what's possible that you might not be able to see. It feels like a really brave act as well. Because often what we cannot see that might be profoundly important to us, might be hidden from us for very good reason. You know, there's so many ways that we protect ourselves from our greatness and our depth and our wonderfulness. And so as we see potentiality, I think we also stray into the land of hazards as well. You know, like we have to love whatever the place is that we're entering into and stay. You know, you said that this piece could be like a piece of writing about responsiveness and process. So for every, I don't know if every moment is right, but every phase or something of the relationship, there will be a different kind of essential nowness and maybe a different potentiality. So it's not like a one-time thing. Loving someone isn't a one-time thing, is it? It's like an ongoing unfolding. And so for us to be in relationship to what's here right now and appreciate and love and find essential, the very essence of someone by loving you, there will be things, aspects of your essence that don't change over time. And then there will be more revealed. Like we have to keep looking as well so that we can do this first sentence of the spiritual act of love enables me to see your essential traits and features as you, the beloved person. That's different with every act of being a person that you engage in. The way you make a cup of tea, the way you have an argument, the way you wrestle with the garden furniture to get it back in its packet again after the summer months. Like whatever you're doing will reveal to me different essential goodness and qualities of you. And so it's like paying attention to this spiritual act of love being an ongoing process of noticing. So that can always be born, that can always be said, that can always be found and communicated. And then maybe the potentiality thing becomes ever more possible to talk about, to say, because that's so well nurtured, that presence of essential self being recognized and noticed through the ordinary acts of being human. So then when it comes to it, that there's something I can see that you might not be able to see, there's loads of ground of ordinary loving seeingness that has happened that allows me to say, oh, I can see there's something else. Maybe I can hold that vision and tell you about it. Maybe that something else might be born in you, in your life, in your way of being in the world. In maybe there's a thing that the world is calling for that you can't see yet, but I can. But I feel like if I'm practicing the spiritual act of love, of nowness, of you and your who-ness now and your essential goodness now, it feels way more possible that I could name those things and bring them to you as and when they arise.
So, well, first of all, I could feel something move in me when you talked about the hazards of this. But if we're going to really love others, it's hazardous territory because, but in an excellent way, that what I could see and feel more and more fully whilst you were talking was this attention you were drawing to the way that we pay attention, and that loving in this way and that Viktor Frankl talks about is a way of paying attention. And that stops it from being a one-time, you know, event or a sort of, it's so funny that we seem to want, I say this in the most general way, but we seem to want to reduce something as complex and rich and deep as love to sort of like a list of action steps. You know, step one, do this, step two, do this, step three. There's all these kind of seven steps to all around, which we're being told all the time. And what you're saying is such a reminder that it's never like that to be with another human being. What being and loving and speaking to another human being in this way that is both honoring of what is and a call into what might be is a constant act of paying attention. And we have to learn how to pay attention to one another, how to know when the right time is, what to pay attention to beyond what I want to say, what's happening to you, what's happening in me, what's happening between us. And frankly, we'll never know either. We'll never know what the right moment is. I've said this story back to you, and I've told it many times before, and I've probably told it a few times here in Turning Towards Life, of a time when you were brave enough to tell me ways that I was asking for help and then doing everything myself, and how frustrating that was and how difficult that was, and what an act of love that was. Because I got to see, in being able to really trust the kind of person that you are, a way in which I was radically holding myself in a very tight, very self-protective kind of place that was a denial of what might yet be. And it's opened up so much to keep on learning how to let go, to fall into the arms of others, that was invited by that moment of your speaking to me. It feels like many years later, that's still, you know, still my work. And I can't think of many things in my life, many big openings that have happened without somebody who loved me and who I could really feel that they loved me, being brave enough to say, I can see something better here. I can see something fuller here. I can see a way in which this is a diminished version, diminished way. Please listen to me and see what might yet be. And I think I'm particularly thinking about Viktor Frankl's life experience. And of course, I'm projecting into him all kinds of things that I can't really know. But to have lived through a world which was so based upon the denial of human possibility and the denial of human value and the denial of human dignity, and then to stand in a world that says that maybe this is our primary thing about being a human, is that we unfold possibilities for loving and creating and dignifying and taking care and inventing and understanding. You think about all the things we humans can do because of the kind of beings that we are. And that's why you were there. So I was speaking yesterday about, in our coaching program, about this way that I found that it seems to be, it's my job when I'm coaching people, is to find out how to love people in this way. And that seems so countercultural. We in our culture, we are so wary about the idea that we might love people that we don't know well yet, or we think that love is a feeling. It's a sort of smushy, yummy feeling. And love can be that, but I don't think it's any of those. I think it's what Viktor Frankl is saying, which is being prepared to take the risk of seeing another person for their essential goodness and really being committed to that. And then being committed to seeing what's possible in a way that is honoring for them. And we could do that with anyone. We could relate to people anywhere where we have any kind of power. We could relate to people, clients and colleagues and people who work for us if we're employers, and the person who's, you know, on the other end of the phone when I'm calling up to explain that the broadband isn't working. And like, there's a way in which, even in sort of a tiny moment, we could hold this in the calling the person in the call center. It might only be like 2 seconds, like a very, very narrow window into this. And with someone like you, who I've known for years, and it's way bigger. But what would it be if we did that with the people who irritate us and the people who we don't understand? And that's why I'm starting to wonder.
Interesting. You saying all of that, Justin, throwing me back to when I first met Matthew, my husband. And I was in a particularly kind of open place, I think, when I met him. And I remember, like, on our first date or something ridiculous, I said to him that I loved him. And for him, all of the stories about what it means to say I love you, which is like commitment and seriousness and attachment and, you know, those things, he was like, oh my gosh, you're completely bonkers. And I said, no, I'm saying it from a place of, because I could see him. I remember just feeling like, oh my gosh, I can see you and I know you can see me. And that's my definition of love. Like it was so clear. And I didn't feel afraid about saying what I was experiencing and that it, you know, could risk him going, you're bonkers, I'm off or whatever. It was just like, it was so true that I felt love. And it wasn't, I didn't even know him very well yet. You know what I mean? It wasn't even based in anything very substantial, but I could feel the seeingness. And when you were talking as well, I could feel that something about love for me is to do with paying attention, like you were saying. So I know that I have capacity when you're wrestling with the garden furniture to feel really annoyed that you're not doing it another way, or, you know, you should have done it earlier because it's raining now, or you've snapped a leg off the chair. Or I could have a load of complaints, but I could also pay attention in a way that is loving. I could appreciate you for how horrendously able you are to not get the thing back into the box again, or I can find it in me that there's ways to observe and ways to appreciate and ways to attend and pay attention that are appreciative ways that generate this noticing of someone's essence. Like when I'm on the lookout for your essence, when I'm on the intentional, I'm going to see you. I'm going to notice you in your essential goodness. When I'm on the hunt for that, my life becomes loving. When I'm on the hunt for all the ways that you're doing that wrong and the ways that I would do it differently and the ways that you've got issues because you load the dishwasher that way or whatever, if I'm looking that way, that's what my experience of life is going to be. So I know that loving is about loving you, but as I love you, my life gets really wonderful and experientially, I mean. So I can feel that you don't have to be being particularly lovable by your definitions for me to love you. It's me. I get to be the person who goes, I'm going to look with these eyes today at you doing the garden furniture or whatever. I'm going to look at you with the eyes of lovingness. And that does have an impact on you, but it also has a profound impact on me. Because when I'm in the loving, you might be benefiting from it, maybe, but actually I can feel that the impact, the greatest impact, is in my experience. Because I also can't experience what you're experiencing. So for me, it's like, I can choose how my life feels to me in the moment by cultivating and intentionally creating a space of loving attention that I afford towards you.
It reminds me of something Eric Fromm wrote, which is that love isn't a feeling. It's a choice. And that the mistake I was thinking about when you were talking about the conversation with Matthew, and I was thinking about the way that we think about love in our culture, this sort of, you know, dramatic moment. You see it in films all the time, the moment that one person is prepared to say to the other, I love you. And I'm not saying there's anything that's untrue in that, but somehow it's sort of built on, I can say to you that I love you when I finally get the feeling that I love you. Oh, I've got the feeling, so that means I love you. And that the feeling will tell us something. The feeling's not unimportant, but what both Viktor Frankl and Erich Fromm and you are saying is that there's a whole other way, which is to say, I choose to bring the kind of attention that is love to you.
Yeah.
And that may feel lots of different ways. Sometimes it's going to feel glorious and transcendent, and sometimes it's sort of like, isn't it wonderful watching you struggle with the furniture boxes in the rain, even though I'm a bit frustrated, and, you know, and I still choose to love you for all of your particularity and incompleteness. And that's not waiting for a feeling to come. That's how we end up in the, oh, I'm feeling frustrated, so I must hate you or be angry with you, but it's also what makes it possible to say to someone very early on, I love you. Right now, I am choosing, because it feels like the right thing to do to love you. We can do that. Very moving hearing your story, and it makes me think about all the people that I love in that way that I don't say I love you to, because I think that they might misinterpret it. But the truth is, I do. I'm choosing to love many people, but not in the way that the romantic movies would have it. You know, like this is my undying declaration that now, you know, that it, because love is so many other things as well as that.
Yeah.
It's very joyful to talk about it in this way, actually, I notice, because it opens up such possibility, you know, just the possibility that there is a choice for us to love. We don't have to wait until it sort of seizes us unawares or something.
Well, I'm looking forward to when you tell the broadband lady that you love her in your discussions. Maybe we should have a challenge of telling someone that we love them who we'll think that the definition of love is the romantic one and see what happens. But I often get that too. Like there are times when I tell people that I love them and they don't return the I love you. You know what I mean? I know that about me. It's awkward, but it's true. Like I feel like I'm being truthful and it doesn't need to be reciprocated, and people don't have the same maybe definitions or practices or whatever. But I also quite like that, you know, to be told that someone loves you. It's beautiful. This is so beautiful, this conversation. Thank you, Justin, for this. And thank you to Viktor Frankl for all of the things. My goodness. And I want to thank this wonderful person in my supervision group. So I'm in a group of people who we talk about our work together. And she sent this to us as a little Christmas gift. And I want to thank her and appreciate that there are all these wonderful people who are reading and wondering and sending me things, and I'm so grateful for that. And also just to say, this really is dedicated to those people who are in the business of consciously, actively turning their lives towards this endeavor of loving others in their professions, and especially as well in the work that we do in our coaching realms, Justin. So thank you everybody for being with us. Thank you, Justin. And we'll be back again next time with another wonderful source.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.